is true of your heart that you have come to meet with him. Well, this is one of the ones that I wanted to do that gives a little bit of the old and the new. Amazing Grace, of course, is one of those beloved hymns of the church. And this little chorus, My Chains Are Gone, makes it a really neat new version. So let's sing out this timeless truth. This is a song I knew when Allison was going to be away that I wanted to do. It's an old song for about 10 years ago. I guess Phil and I started singing it. But the words are something that always are impressed upon my heart. The words of this, how deep the Father's love for us. If you're not familiar with this song, really drink in the truth that it shares. But let's proclaim it today. Thank you. Well, this is a song that I'm really, really, really enjoying, and it's a newer song. It's called Graves into Gardens. Likely I should have waited till Allison came back, but I don't care. I know she, her vocal is way better than mine, and that's okay. I understand my limitations. But I do love this song, and I love when Kirtland plays it, even though it's frustrating for a drummer to play this song, it is. I want you to listen to the truth of it this morning. If it's newer to you, you'll catch along pretty quick. But it's got some powerful, powerful truth for us as individuals and how our lives have changed because of Jesus. So let's sing Graves into Gardens.
There's no
You know what? It's fun, and I do say this. I tell you guys all the time that I love our church, and I really do. I get excited that we do life together. I get excited that we challenge each other, that we stretch each other, that Kirtland and I can laugh. And I get that every day when I come into work, like it's kind of fun. But it's all you guys that make the journey so incredible. I can't imagine, like during these COVID times, and maybe you're listening online, I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to be a part of a local church. I can't imagine, like I was doing the board, like we took all the pictures down from last year and I'm finally putting up new pictures from this year. There's some pictures there from the last Christmas things, there's Neil serving lobster chowder to people while people are playing music in the background. Like the last pictures before church was shut down, we're putting those up. Then we have all these wood pictures and baptism pictures of stuff that we've been doing despite the pandemic. And I just think my life is so rich, and it's because of everybody here. I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't want to be part of a local church. And so anyway, if you're listening online, I want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be this church. Trust me, I'm weird. I know that. I'm not the box that some people are looking for. But find a local church, because there's so many great ones out there, and don't be doing life alone. Anyway, we've been working through Romans, and I've kind of been preparing you guys because Romans is kind of one of those books that's challenging and in very many ways offensive. And today I kind of prepared you for today because we're going to be talking about God's wrath. Like if you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, they have little subtitles there when they talk about all the different topics that Paul is going to write about. One of them talks about God's wrath. Now that's an interesting subject when it comes to the world in which we live. Why in the world would I ever talk about God's wrath? Well, I talk about God's wrath because I'm going to talk about sin. And you'd say, no, those two things we don't have to talk about. Well, yes, we do, because they're in the Word of God, and they're uncomfortable conversations, but they're still the right conversations, right? Paul talks about the hard things because he loves his audience. So it's just like, again, like my kids are not necessarily in the dating world, and they're probably going, oh, why do I come to church that you preach at? But you know what? If Ella or Elias was to bring home somebody that was getting very friendly with them and they started to date somebody that I had concerns for, guess what? Because I love them, I would have that conversation, wouldn't I? As a responsible parent. Now, they hate all of those conversations. But I still am going to have them. Why? Because they are everything to me. Next to Jesus and Allison, my kids are everything to me. And you know what? I look at those guys, and I'm praying for them every day, and I'm hoping for them every day, and I'm giving them advice, even advice that they don't want to hear sometimes, because I love them. That's what Paul is doing here. And who's saying hi? Hi, guys! And even as it's, that's if you're listening online, we just have some kids that are saying hi. They're doing some stuff, and that's awesome, because we are for all ages, amen? Those little guys aren't the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today, amen? And Kathleen, you don't have to leave. But anyway, if you can go downstairs, you can stay. I can talk louder than Austin, trust me, right? Anyway, we love you guys, and we're excited you're here. But here's what I want to do before we start today. I want to make a statement of intent, and that's wild. Why would you make it a statement of intent? Because here's the deal. If we are both traveling down this track together, we got to make sure we're on the same train, amen? There are times when people are going to disagree with the church, and that's fine. They could disagree, but I need to make these statements. What is sin? Let's start off. You guys will know this if you've been part of this crowd for any length of time. Sin is when we try to fulfill God-given desires without God. Best definition of sin ever. What is sin? Sin is when you try to fulfill God-given desires without God. So let me give you an example of that. For years growing up, I never heard a message preached about sex because the church had this idea that sex was dirty. No, sex is a gift of our Father, and when it's done in God's design, it can be a rewarding, amazing thing that brings couples and families together. Here's the problem. We tried to jump outside of the realm of God's design, and all of a sudden, we've got problems. Well, we have unwanted pregnancies. Oh, we have STDs. Oh, we have adultery. All of these things breaking hearts when God had a specific design for it. It's like money. Is money evil? No. Can it lead to evil things? Yes. It says every good gift comes down from the Father above. So his blessings is a spiritual principle, and God longs to bless you. The problem is sometimes we let greed and other things sneak in, and before we know it, we're not living under the design of God, and we're trying to make our own plans. So today, we're going to talk about this idea of God's wrath coming upon sin. Well, what is sin? If it's fulfilling God-given desires without God, sin is whatever God has deemed sinful. Is everybody with me today? And you know what? You could debate that. I love to debate. Anything that I'm going to talk about today, I would love it if you get me a coffee. We sit down and we throw that ball back and forth. We can talk about it logically. We can talk about it spiritually. We can talk about it theologically or historically and all of these things. But some of the things that I'm going to say today are going to blow some liberals' minds. But here's the truth. If you do not believe in an almighty God, then this message is not for you. And you know what? There's some people who may be listening, or maybe you're new to the church, and you'd say, well, you know what? I think that there are many gods. Okay, that's fine. This message is not for you. If you don't believe that the scriptures are the infallible, unchangeable truth of God, then again, this message is not for you. You'd say, well, I disagree. The Bible had a time and a place, and this is nor the time or the place. And I'm going, okay, that's fine. You could disagree. This message is not for you. I can debate anything logically as long as we understand where I'm coming from right out of the gate, and it's okay for you to disagree. We live in a culture where the reality is it's very, very soft and fragile, and I don't like our new culture. Our new culture says that they demand I agree with everything that is out there that the world is selling, and I just don't buy that logic. And when I don't agree, then they accuse me of hate or bigotry, and I'm going, hold on. Do you know this is a fantastic truth? We can disagree and still love one another. Again, some liberal minds have just blown around the world. No, you're a bigot. You hate. No, I don't. We can disagree and still love each other. In fact, I have a lot of people in my life that I disagree with. I still love them, right? There's a lot of people who disagree with me. And you know what? If they choose to hate me, that's between them and their maker or whoever they believe in. But the bottom line is I don't hate people. And before we start, it's kind of interesting because I want to address two myths that I see in the church as well before we ever get started. This is something that's leaked into the church. I don't agree with it. It frustrates me and it makes me sad. But you know that there are some churches that don't want to imagine a God that can get angry? I never understood that. Because how many people in here get angry sometimes? The rest of you just have a problem with lying. Okay, now that we've cleared that up, right? So here's the reality. We understand anger. We get angry often. I drive down the road sometimes. It's kind of funny. I'll do this. I'll cut off a church member that I know is a church member, and the finger comes right at the window, and then they realize it's their pastor, and they go, oh, well, I was just checking. You're number one! And I laugh about that, right? But we understand anger in our lives. Well, then how is it so inconceivable for us to grasp a God that sometimes would get angry? When we talk about wrath, that shouldn't be a surprise to you. God's wrath is not to be poured out upon you, is to be poured out upon sin, right? But then all of a sudden I hear these arguments. I say, well, I don't believe in a God that gets angry. And I'm going, it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It doesn't make it any less true, right? A lot of churches, they want this God who is fluffy and a kumbaya, really huggy God who doesn't get mad at anything. And you know what? I wouldn't be a preacher of the truth if I didn't tell you that that's not the way God is. There's times, like to quote the great hymn poets, the Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want. That's the reality of today, right? And it's kind of interesting, and you know what? So I want to share that there's times when the Bible is very clear that the wrath of God is very, very real. And yet then there's some other churches, this would be a second myth, there's some churches out there that don't believe in a God that would pour out his wrath because their excuse is, well, didn't the cross end wrath? Well, actually, the cross made a way for love to win and wrath to be avoided, but wrath is still real, and the cross was not its end. In fact, the cross was wrath poured out. You see, the problem is we go, I don't want to believe in a God who can pour wrath out upon me. He pours wrath out upon sin. Do you know what his design is for you? His design for you and I was to live naked in a garden of peace called Eden. And the thing that disrupted that was sin. And so God's wrath is for sin. And then I hear these people who say, well, what gives God the right to judge me? He's God. Like, really? What gives God the right to judge me or to judge you? Well, if he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of all the earth, he can do whatever he wants. And there's churches that don't want to do that, right? It's kind of, they want to put God in his place. Are you kidding me? He makes places. He's not put in a place. And so when we talk about those things, I find it hard to when a Christian brothers and sisters who are supposed to be part of the same tribe, they explain this God that I don't know, that doesn't exist, and it's certainly not scriptural. And so today I want to have some of those hard conversations because I believe those hard conversations are necessary. And it's going to be interesting. I want you to keep in mind, right, that I want you to keep in mind that Jesus is offensive. In fact, Jesus says in the Word, don't worry when they hate you because they hated me first. But listen to this. Jesus talks about sin. Jesus acknowledges in his teaching that there is a moral law. And in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so all of a sudden, you hear all of those, well, there's many ways to God. No, there isn't. Well, there's many gods. No, there isn't. And then all of a sudden, well, we disagree. Well, that's okay. Well, you hate me. No, I don't. But Jesus told me you'd hate me. The reality is this, is that Jesus is very offensive. He says that there is only one way. There is only one truth. And so the reality is you either accept Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or you say that he's a lunatic. Those are the only two options that you have. And so if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's okay. This message is not for you. However, if you do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then this message is for us. And it's amazing to me because there's some that don't want a moral law, let alone a moral lawgiver, but Jesus doesn't give us that choice. You see, we live in a world that wants to make their own choices, don't they? How many of you heard people saying, I'm not just toddlers, I've heard grown adults say, nobody's the boss over me. Like, that's the culture in which we live in. I kind of go, wow, that's sad to me. Because here's my truth. When I was my own boss, I was making a mess. That's why I tell you all the time, man left alone will self-destruct. I see it all around me. My journey with God began when I realized that I didn't know the way and I needed a new way. And Jesus told me he was the way and I believed him and my life has never been the same since. You see, I needed a moral lawgiver to keep me on the road. I needed a designer who knew the design because every time I had tried to get my own way, I was making a mess. So let me ask you a question as we start today. Does the world know the way to a healthy, stable, peaceful life? No. Turn on the news. The world does not have health. The world does not know stability. The world does not know peace. The world is a mess. And it's funny because we live in a culture, too, that's also, as the days have gone by, we have generations that live in a gray area. Like it used to be there was, oh, the new generation, they got a little bit of gray area. No, we have generations that have been grown up and raised in a gray area. The world would say there's no right or wrong. You see, because what you believe is objective. The world would say that we live in a victim culture. It's not my fault, somebody else's fault. We live in that world. We live in a world that whatever, it's okay to be whatever you want to be. How many of you heard that statement? You just do you. Be true to yourself. Wow. Okay. As a Christian, I disagree. You'd say with what? With all of that. I disagree with all of that. Right? Like that's what was making me a mess before Jesus. And now that I have the way, the truth, and the life within me, then all of a sudden now my life has found balance. So Paul says some offensive things. I want to go over them today. Aren't you glad you came to church? We're going to go over these offensive things, but there's some incredible truth to be drawn out in this. So Romans 1, we're going to start to read at verse 18. I'm going to stop as we go along, but please listen to this as we talk about the wrath of God. He says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Stop. Big, big theological statement. And for some of us, this is going to be great to be reminded of some of these Christian, these basic Christian beliefs. Think about this. Verse 18, God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. Wrath comes from the godless and the wicked. It's kind of interesting to me that sometimes we forget that, right? Sometimes we forget that truth that this wrath that comes is not coming for good. It's coming for the wicked, right? And Paul clears that up, this whole debate. And they say, okay, well, in verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Well, the debate that I always hear is that, you know, when they say we talk about God's wrath and we talk about sin, they'll say, well, you know what? How can God judge me? My understanding of God is not the same as your understanding of God. How can God judge some of the tribes that have never heard about Jesus? I find some of those debates kind of fascinating. Well, the reality is Paul is taking away our excuses here. Again, in verse 19, read it. He says, since what may be known of God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying is God is not hiding. God has never been hiding. One of my favorite subjects in university was sociology. And sociology would allow you to study cultures and the development and functioning of human societies. And sociology would go back even in time, and they would study different time eras and different cultures. You know what's interesting to me is that no matter what culture we look at, there are rules for society to function. There are, right? Like the world has known since man has started to come together and form groups, man has known that it's not okay to take somebody's life. Now, there's exceptions to those rules. Of course, if you're at war with another tribe or something like that, sometimes people are going to die. But for the most part, we live because we don't kill each other randomly, right? It's an unwritten rule. In fact, the deepest, darkest tribes of Africa that have just been found by civilization, we understand that there's a hierarchy of rules. So, for instance, you think sex causes problems today. Sex has always caused problems because if you claim a woman or a man and that woman or man starts sleeping with some other women or men, guess what? There's going to be wars. It's an unwritten rule. It's just like we protect the vulnerable. Right? The children have been protected in societies. They didn't need the word of God to tell them that. If a child was vulnerable, we protect them. Now, there are some societies, exceptions to the rule, where they would sacrifice babies, but they didn't sacrifice all of their babies, or else they wouldn't have been a nation. They wouldn't have been a people. You and I are here today because it's fundamentally understood that the little ones who can't defend themselves, we will defend them. You didn't need the Bible to tell you those fundamental truths. Why? Because you know them. Then I have people who are science-minded, and they say, well, we call that a conscience. And I said, no, it's called the Holy Spirit. Paul says that God has been revealing himself clearly so that everyone can understand and everyone is without excuse for sin. That is a big, basic Christian belief. And church, we need to hear it today. That there are right and wrongs. Even in a world that doesn't want to admit it, there's still right and wrongs. And man will be judged by what they know. That's what Paul is saying. And mankind knows, so there is no excuse. That's why we have morality. God gives us morality. But you know what's interesting is in the society in which we live, then we want to say, okay, let's debate morality because I believe it's up for debate. No, it's not. What you want to do is you want to be comfortable with the life that you're choosing. That's a problem. Isaiah 5:20 talks about that. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter and sweet for bitter. Paul goes on to call out some of these issues that he sees. Now remember, he's writing to the Roman society. You want to do an interesting study in history, go back and see what the Romans were into.
Woo! We're talking craziness. We're talking all sorts of sexual worship with any living creatures. We're talking craziness in the Roman society. But you know what? This is what Paul is writing to. And he says in verse 21, he says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now listen to this in verse 24. He uses a statement that he uses a couple of times here. He uses it in 24, he uses it in verse 26. He says, "Therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity and the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator." Verse 26, "Because of this, God gave them over," he uses that word again, "God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men who also abandoned their natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another." Verse 29, "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. And they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents, and they have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy." This is a whole interesting passage of Scripture, and Paul comes down on the culture that he is living in at this moment. Like, Rome had his issues. Again, I want you to go back. But you know what? Paul makes this big list. He calls out sexual impurity. What is sexual impurity? Fornication. What's fornication? It's sex outside of marriage. Do we live in a culture that understands that today? Yeah. Sexual impurity, what else is that? Well, that's adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is sex with another person who's already married. Do we see any of that in our world today? You know, I'm amazed, like Hollywood stars. 2-year anniversary, and they're celebrating that on some of those celebrity TV shows. They should be, because it's like this is their 18th marriage in Hollywood, right? And I kind of go, that's sad to me. Like, that's disturbing to me. But Paul goes on. He's talking about all these things. He calls out homosexuality, calls out greed, depravity, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and on he goes, even saying they're inventing new ways to sin. Like, that's amazing what he goes into here. And what scares me is this. This does scare me, and it frustrates me. For years and years and years, the church wants to take Paul's list of sins and pick and choose the ones that they think are worse. That bugs me. You know, the church has been on the wrong side of amplifying certain sins while living with other ones, and I want to tell you that that's not acceptable. You know, I find it funny when churches have axes to grind and they hold up certain sins and ignore other sins that are right in the midst of their own congregation, and it always makes me sad. But what Paul is saying here is still not a very popular message today. What he's saying that is, if mankind is straying from God's design, and what is God's design? God's design is for what is best for you. Verse 24 and 26, he uses those phrases, God gave them up and God gave them over. You want to know what the problem with today's society is? Man thinks they know better than God. We want to be our own gods. And that's sad to me, because God knows, if he is truly the designer, he knows what is best for us. And yet we somehow think that we have more wisdom than God. And again, it comes back to the original sin. Like, Adam was deceived. You know what? If you eat from that tree, you're going to be as wise as God. You'll be able to make your own decisions. What was the devil saying? He's saying, you want to be your own God? Go for it. We today still stray from the design that God has planned for us. And here's the truth today. Man without God will do whatever man wants. And that is sad. That's the hard truth of the terrible world in which we live, in the crazy times, that we would twist it. And you know what? So there's some in the church that would say, okay, I believe that there's a designer, but I believe that there's many different designs. And I'm going, again, then we don't believe in the same God. God has an intended way, and anything outside of God's intended way is called rebellion. We see it from Adam. The mess begins when we get outside of the lines that God has designed for us. And here's what happens. Instead of praying like Jesus, thy will be done, we don't pray that, not even in our churches today. What do we pray? We pray we want our will to be done. Not thy will, God, let our will be done. Well, how is that working for the world today? When we demand what we want when we want it, we want our independence, don't we? And here's the amazing truth today, that God loves you enough to give you what you want. God loves you enough to give you that choice. He doesn't demand that you follow his design, right? He gives us that freedom of choice. We call it free will. So here's the truth today. If we're talking about the wrath of God, and that's our topic today, if we're talking about the wrath of God, guess what? We experience the wrath of God when he gives us our independence. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He says, hell is when mankind finally gets to enjoy forever the horrible freedom that they have demanded. The wrath of God comes upon us when we stray from his design. And it's kind of interesting because when I talk about sin and I talk about this life without God, people will say, well, that's not a very loving thing to share. That's a very hurtful message. Andrew, are you not judging people? No, my intent is never to judge, and nor is Paul's. What he's doing is he's sharing with the culture that he has a stern warning that there is a way, and right now, everybody around me doesn't seem to be on it. It's a prophetic message. He's warning his listeners, and I would warn the world today that we're bent towards sin. But you know what? That's dangerous. So for instance, let me use me as an illustration. I told you before Jesus, I was a mess. Why? Because I was making my own design. Every time it ended in flames and destruction. People are hurt. My life is wreckage before Jesus. And I look at that and I can almost giggle. Why? Because I would never trade the life that I have now with Jesus for anything back then. His design works. And here's my reality. When Andrew gets what Andrew wants, everything comes crashing down. Andrew isn't smart enough to know what Andrew needs. And when I finally stopped looking for what I wanted and I started seeking the one who knew what I needed, everything changed in my life. When I finally understood that Andrew wasn't smart enough to know the design, so I started to seek the designer and his design, guess what? That's when everything changed. That's when everything changed. You see, it doesn't matter what I identify with. There's a lot of things that I desire, but all of them lead to my ruin. Things only started to come into balance when I identified with Jesus Christ. That is the one the world still needs today. And that is the gospel. That is the truth that Paul is sharing. And as a pastor, you know what? I would fail you if I chose to preach this warm, comfortable gospel. No. There are terrible things that are happening in our world. There are terrible things that the Bible warns us of. What kind of a man would I be if I skipped over all the hard parts? Paul is warning us that you and I, we are in danger of missing his design. And when we miss his design, everything falls apart. In church, we're not to pick and choose between the sins that we want to amplify and the sins that we hope we can keep secret because we like them. Anything outside of God's design is sin. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. Paul is not trying to be a prude. He's not trying to take away the joy or adventure of life. If anything, study Paul's life, you'll find out that every day was an adventure. A crazy roller coaster ride. There was no one who lived a more fascinating life than Paul, and it wasn't all glorious, but boy, his journeys, his mission trips, being stranded in the middle of the ocean while sharks nibbled at his feet, being bit by snakes, being overtaken by pirates, this guy lived a life. It was crazy. It was awesome. He was a man who went through terrible pain. Why did he go through terrible pain and persecution? To share this truth with you, that there is a designer. And he has a design. And when we settle for anything less, then we are ruined. When we settle for anything less, then we are doomed. When we settle for anything less, we experience the wrath of God. And grace and mercy is this beautiful thing that has been given to us through the wrath of the cross, that we could avoid this sin issue in our life. And Paul is begging his audience to say, you know what? You don't know the way. Let me show you him. He is Jesus. You don't know what's best, but there's one who does. Let me tell you about him. His name is Jesus. You think of your past and everything that you've tried to do and all the failures that we've come against. You know what? There's one who knows the way, and his name is Jesus. And he is the answer for all the sin, and he is the answer for all of the mess, and he is the peace to all of the chaos that we are experiencing in the world today. We need him. And his design for you is not to take. His design for you is to give you a life to its fullest. Oh, that we would yield to the designer and his design. But you see, you can't yield to an almighty God if you are choosing to be God yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to get out of that chair because every time I was making my own decisions, it was ending in torment. My prayer for you today and Paul's prayer for you 2,000 years ago was that you would yield. Now, that sounds so simple, but it's not easy. It sounds so simple, but it's not easy. Because you got to die to self. You got to give leadership, as scary as that sounds, to someone else. But don't worry, if you do that, he's the one who knows the way. My hope for you today and my prayer for you today is the same as Paul's, is that you would come to a place of yielding. You know, there's a lot of different issues that are listed here. And maybe you're listening online, or maybe you're here today live and you're listening. I want you to know that anyone or all of those, I invite you to go over in private one-on-one with me if you want to talk about them logically and biblically and get into it. There's a lot of different arguments that people have made over the years. Many of them are hogwash. You know, if you want some wisdom on that, I'm inviting you to that. I'm not saying you're going to always like what I have to say, but I'm always going to be real and honest with you. I'm always going to take you to the Word of God. I'm going to show you what it says. I'm going to show you how that's truth. But today, in the midst of all of the sin, the warning is the wrath. The wrath is coming, not for you. It's coming for sin. Praise the Lord that God made a way. His name was Jesus. If you need Jesus today, don't leave this place without him. You know, you say, man, I'm so messed up, Pastor. I don't have it together. There's so much more that I got to learn. Yeah, you know what? Jesus accepts you just as you are, and he loves you enough not to leave you there. He's gonna teach you. He's going to bring you family, Christian family and friends. He's going to bring you scholars, like all of these people with wisdom that are going to be able to help you and to encourage you, to make better choices for you. And here's the truth, church. My prayer is this, is that we would live in such a way, now listen to me, that we would live in such a way that the world would say, man, there is something different about that Mark guy. You know, he got a crazy big old tattoo with the cross on him now. He's talking different. He's acting different. Man, that Mark, there's something different about that Mark. Like, Like, what in the world? And then all of a sudden, they would say, Mark, can we get together for coffee sometime? I got some questions for you. Why? Because they can't dismiss that there's something different about him and how he lives his life. That when people meet Neil, they go, man, you know what? That little, he's so energetic. He's so vocal. He's so active. He's involved in everything. But you know what? There's something about him that's different. He listens to me. He keeps his, like, what is different about him? And then they'd say, Neil, can we get together and talk? That they'd see Gloria. And they'd go, you know what? Gloria and Bernard, man, they've been through an awful lot in their life. But boy, there's something different about them. You know what? There's been some hardship, but man, they're still standing. They still have peace. I don't understand. Like, there's something different about them. What is that? And people would see Judy and say, Judy's been through some stuff, man, and yet she's still here. And you know what? She still has that smile on her face and that peace in her heart and that bounce in her step. And what's different about her, man? We got to get together for coffee. Like, Pete even did that. That Tim would live in such a way that the community couldn't dismiss him. The other day, he's paying workers to go put in people's wood. I didn't ask him if I could say that, but I'm proud of him. That he would care enough about his neighbor that he would help them do the wood on work time. Paying my son, are you kidding me? That they'd look at Lloyd and Carol and say, why in the world would they give all that wood away? They could have sold it. They could have made profit. Why did they do that? What's different about them? What's different is we are following the designer and his design, and the world cannot dismiss it. That when people look at you, they will see something different, and they will see something better. Oh, it'll change the world. It'll change the world when we live the design. Oh, that we would seek the designer in all of his glory. That's my prayer for you today. Father, let it be. Let it be. In Jesus' name, amen.